A hearty welcome to all in the name of Jesus. Let's open our camp songbooks. I mean these white books that say Sing Unto God on the front. To number one of our camp favorites, number one. If you'd like to stand as we sing this, stand with me. I will praise Him. Sing the next verse, which says, fairest of 10,000, I will praise Him. 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 Coming King of glory, I will praise Him. Coming King of glory, I will praise Him. Coming King of glory, I will praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Perhaps some of you have heard the recording of Brother Wannenmacher. He's an old time, or he was, an old time friend of the camp, a great minister of the gospel. He used to love to play the violin and preach. Anyway, we have a recording of him where he's getting ready to play. Those of you who knew his ministry, remember how he used to pluck at those strings before he ever started to play, and then maybe tune up a little bit, and took a little time. It had to be right. And so we have him doing that. It's real nice to have. And as he's plucking away, he doesn't want to lose the audience. He wants them to stay in touch with Jesus. And so he says, let everyone say, praise the Lord. And then you hear them all say, praise the Lord together. And then he says, you've never done anything better than to say, praise the Lord. Now that's a sentence that makes you stop and think. But it must be right if he said it. You've never done anything better than to say, praise the Lord. This morning one of the things that was mentioned was from Psalm 34, that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He gives us the desires of our hearts. And we mentioned thinking about it this way, not just that He gives us what we have been wishing for, but that He actually plants desires in our hearts, you know, the things that He would want for us. And then we want just what He wants, and He is willing and ready and so happy to grant those desires to everyone who delights themselves in Him. And I was just thinking that I had a desire, and it's been of long standing. Actually, it's been all summer long. I had a desire, and it somehow coincides with one of the Lord's desires, as He spoke to His disciples. He said, with desire I have desired to keep this feast with you. I really had a longing to have this Last Supper, this time of fellowship with you. Before I go to the cross, that's what he meant, I wanted to keep this feast with you and have this time with you. Remember, it was at that time that he instituted the ceremony, the feast that the church has celebrated over all these years. This do in remembrance of me. I think that's probably one of the great reasons that he got them together, to teach them something wonderful. Of course, we know his teachings in John 14, 15, 16, and his prayer in John 17. But then to take the bread and to take the cup and to teach them about his laying down his life for them, his pouring out his life, and that they should remember him in this way by partaking of him. It was really a feast that commemorated his death, but it was a feast of life, everlasting life. And we participated in that, I'm sure all of you have over the years. But so he had this desire. It was at the end of his earthly ministry. And I know all summer I've been looking forward with desire to the end of the season, not because it was getting tedious, but I was looking forward to this meeting this weekend with desire. I think the Lord looked forward to this weekend with desire also. And I think he shared that desire with me. You know, he won a great victory for us, and he invites us to a feast. On Calvary's holy mountain, he made a feast of fat things, it says. The Lord God will prepare here for his people a feast of fat things. And it's here that death is swallowed up in victory, and here that we rejoice in his salvation. And we say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for his salvation. Let's be glad. Let's rejoice. Let's worship him and give him the glory that is his due. And I believe he's pleased when we come and receive, when we come and take. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. I've really been looking forward to this Labor Day weekend. And I believe it's a time when the Lord wants to manifest his life, his own resurrection life and power, and to do his gracious work mightily and deeply in our hearts and in our midst. He wants to bless every single one of us, but he also wants to make us a blessing one to another, that his love might flow, his light might shine, his life might be manifested. And I'm really thankful that I'm here. And I'm glad you're here too. So thank you for coming. And let's look forward to feasting with Jesus. Now, I wanted to call Brother Graber before the meeting. Most of you know him, who have been here in past years. He came for quite a few years. And then last year, he wasn't well enough to come. And this year, he still was not up to coming, but he is much, much better. I visited him both years, and I can tell you from personal observation that Brother Graber is much, much better than he was the last time I visited him there at his home in Ohio. And we're so thankful for that. So I tried to call him just before meeting and tell him, hey, we're expecting you to be praying for us, even though you can't be here. Because I have to tell you something about Brother Graber. After my father died, he called me almost every Saturday evening. And he said, so, what are you talking about tomorrow morning? Your father used to tell me his sermon. So I'd tell him what I thought we would be looking at. And then he would say, let me pray for you. And sometimes it was just so wonderful that he didn't know this, but I'd run into the next room, I'd put it on speakerphone, and I'd hold it up for my wife to hear. It was just so anointed, and it was just so, it just brought me into Jesus' presence, and his life was quickening us, strengthening us. Oh, that was really precious. And he still does that, although less frequently since he took ill. And he has told me that he would be praying for us just a few weeks ago. And he's prayed for the whole camp season. I wanted to be able to give you his greetings, and he's going to call me back because I left him a message. I'm sure he will. But then I want to share this with you, too. Last year, Brother Ed Luton was here, and we were blessed by his ministry. So glad that his wife could join us, even though, as we all noticed, she was quite sick. She was here. They were here in the summer. In fact, we came up while Brother Kenny was ministering here on one evening, and Brother Ed was with me. We sat right there. That's why I pointed that way. And Brother Kenny gave him a chance to speak, and he was thrilled to be here again. And now there's something that's come into his life as a surprise. Just 2 days ago, I got an email that said, I think it was on, yeah, that would have been on Wednesday. I have to go into the hospital tomorrow for an angiogram. Please pray with me. I expect that I'll be sent home. I have to stay overnight, but I'm going home on Friday. And then yesterday, I got a text message, and it said, please join me in prayer. I have to have bypass surgery tomorrow. That was today. And apparently, as I've discovered, when he went in for the angiogram, the doctor decided that the blockage somewhere was too serious to let him even go home, that he had to be operated on right away. So last night, we had an evening worship here, and then we went down to the campfire, and around the campfire, we prayed together for Brother Luton, who was operated on today. And when I spoke to his wife this afternoon, or no, it was before noon, and she said he was still in surgery, but then she sent me this note later on. Just a little note, as I've just come from the hospital. Ed came through the surgery. Seems to be in a stable condition. Of course, he is heavily sedated and was not aware that Bobby and I were there. That's their daughter, or one of their daughters. The surgeon explained that they'll wake him up tomorrow morning, and then we can visit again in the afternoon. Thank you for your call. It was so encouraging to know that friends there are praying and standing with us during this time. I've been so grateful for all the support I've received, and especially to have Bobby and Linda right next to me through the whole process. We'll keep you informed as the days go by. I was told that Ed will probably be in ICU until Wednesday, and then in a general ward for a few days, and possibly discharged next weekend. It's likely to be a rough, painful road between now and then, but the Lord is with him and will help us both. A day at a time. With love, Barbara. So this is to all of their friends. Came to my email address, but it says, Dear Friends, and that includes you. And let's keep praying for them, that God will give a good recovery, a speedy recovery, and help our brother and our sister at this time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we want to bring our brother Ed to you. He's lying there in the hospital in intensive care, probably not knowing anything about what's happening around him, but you are with him. And we pray that your presence and your love shall overshadow him, and your everlasting arm shall undergird him. The eternal God is his refuge. God is his refuge and strength and very present help. And we rest in this confidence, Lord, and thank you that we can commit him to you and pray that you will accomplish all your good purpose in him at this time and glorify your name. We just pray that your resurrection life shall quicken his mortal body, that you will bless him in his spirit, soul, and body. And come to our dear sister Barbara. Thank you so much for helping her over this past year and giving her a much easier time of it with her illness. We just pray that you'll continue your good hand upon her. We pray that you will strengthen her and heal her and bless them both and their whole family at this time. Oh God, we pray. Just come to them in a special way and let them be very conscious of your great help being ministered to them. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Kenny, do you have a song you'd like us to sing?
I do. There are 84 in the white book. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah.
Okay, we practiced that just, was it yesterday morning? So I'll expect to hear all of you who were here yesterday singing out strongly number 84. We took the psalm that this was based on and had read it through. 84 in these white books. Now, standing, when we do stand to sing, it's always voluntary. I just don't think we could sing this as well sitting down as standing. So we're going to do it again, but it's always voluntary. I would only ask that if you can stand when we read the Bible together, I like to do that. That's a practice that I've gotten into. If that's hard, you know, then just read it sitting down. It's better than not reading at all. Okay, but let's sing 84. Let it ring out.
And his glory.
Let's be seated and let us praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, hallelujah. I mentioned a moment ago the desire that I had in my heart for this Labor Day weekend. I wanted to be here with you, and I'm so thankful. I had specific desires. I wanted some of our fellowship ministers to be here, and I asked a number of them, and I'm so glad for these two from home that are here with me. And they have both been a really great example to me of love for Jesus and faithfulness in his service. And I really have come to appreciate and love the ministry of both of them. They are Brother Kenny here and also Sister Gerda, who's helping us at the organ. I'm so thankful for them and for the years that we have, the years I've known them, and the years that we've served together in the gospel, in the interests of Christ's kingdom. And it's a blessing to work together with both of them and others down in the city. Thankful for them too, but I'm glad for these who are here, and I certainly want them to feel absolutely free to speak as God lays anything upon their hearts to share. I hope that they are free to do that. Also, I'm so happy to see Brother Wade with us here again. How many years in a row have you been here on Labor Day? You've lost track, and more often than I, by quite a few. Anyway, I'm so glad to see you, and I trust the same with you, that you will feel free to share as the Lord lays something upon your heart. I want us all to be looking. We sang at the table tonight, moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I have life from above, looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. So I want all of us, from Heidi over in that corner to Lenny and Cheryl over here, all the way around. And I want all of, you know, the word minister just means servants, and we're all servants of God. Ye servants of God, your master proclaim, and publish abroad His wonderful name. Extol Jesus, that name high exalted. So let us be looking to Him and loving Him and waiting upon Him and listening for Him. We mentioned that this morning. And you know, as we listen to Him and hear His voice, some of the wonderful things that He shares with us are meant to be shared with others. And so I trust that we shall all follow His leading and come to Him in faith. Whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Praise the Lord. That's a verse given us in connection with the faith of Enoch, who walked with God and pleased God, because he had faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God, she who comes to God, whoever comes to God must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so I just want to encourage everyone, especially my ministering brothers and sister, but all of us, to serve the Lord with gladness and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Another thing that I have in my heart is that we wait on the Lord, that we take time for waiting on the Lord, and perhaps more than we have been able to do in recent years. I have in my heart now, who knows what the Lord has for us, but I have in my heart to set apart tomorrow as a day of really waiting on God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and looking to Him and listening for Him. And of course, I'm not saying that no one should say anything. I'm sure that we'll hear something from the Word of God, from our ministers, and perhaps from some of you, but I really have that desire that we'll take a little more time at the feet of Jesus. I remember the first prayer retreat. Perhaps some of you have heard me say this, but I think it bears repeating because some of you haven't. I was on staff the first, or the last regular, before we had the prayer retreats on Labor Day. We used to have a conference here. And all the activities were available to us. And we had a special speaker. And often that was the man whom you've heard referred to as Uncle Hans. Some of you have known him. Others of you, I'm sure just about everyone has heard people talk about Uncle Hans. He was the founder of this camp and our pastor and founder there in Ridgewood. And he would come and speak at that Labor Day retreat. Often, I guess, it was a conference for workers in the church, Sunday school teachers and leaders and so on. And And they would come together, and we'd have a great time. Labor Day was a great close to the season. And I remember that in 1967 I was here. And the thing I remember most about 1967 Labor Day retreat was that Sunday night meeting when they called Sister Gerda out. Sister Gerda, that was 43 years ago. Wow. And you look exactly the same to me. You do. Anyway, I was sitting way back there where that instrument is on that window ledge. And they called her up front, and Uncle Hans and the gardeners, and there were other ministers here. They laid hands on her. She had to say something, and they sent her forth. I think that was her first time going to Taiwan, right? And that was really that was the thing that remains in my memory from that year. But it was during the next year, in the springtime, that Uncle Hans, I can call him that because he is my uncle, or was my uncle. Anyway, my father's uncle. He was ministering in one of the churches, and it was in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and he had a stroke. And he never fully recovered, although he did come back into preaching a bit in Ridgewood toward the close of that year. And the beginning of the next year, I guess, was the end of his public ministry. But he couldn't be at camp. And I remember that the gardeners, they were the directors of the camp for the first 40 or so years. They looked to the Lord, what to do? Whom should we invite to take Uncle Hans's place? What should we do? What would be the right thing? What would please the Lord? And he seemed to direct them to do something that was, I guess, rather revolutionary. A place that has facilities like this and the beautiful, outdoor possibilities. We're going to close them all down. And we're going to seek the Lord. We have no special speaker. Anyway, no one special speaker. If I told you who was here, you'd say any one of them could have carried the ball. I mean, Pearl Young was here. Brother Wanamaker was here. Helen, his wife, was here. But anyway, they participated, but there was no one special speaker, and we all spent a lot of time on our knees. I still remember that. We just waited on God. They spoke, and they encouraged us, but we spent a lot of time on our knees. And there were a lot of people, or so I was told. I was too young. I wasn't in the inner workings of any of this. But I was told, I think Brother Gardner told my father, and I heard this. There were a lot of people that were quite upset with that decision. And they stayed away. They weren't interested as much in seeking the Lord like that. Brother Gardner had a word he called the protracted. It was a protracted time of prayer. He was the only person I ever heard use that, but I guess that meant a drawn out, is that what it means? Time of prayer, and it sure was. But anyway, I was only 16, but I remember the way God blessed me at that meeting. You know, there were others that were hungry for an opportunity like that, and I guess they came, and the Lord came. I can remember one time when Sister Young, she was right about there where you are, Vaselina, and she stood and she testified, and she opened her Bible. She left her Bible, there's a little table there too, and I saw that she had it written in her Bible, but you know, she was hardly looking at it. Allured into the desert, with God alone apart. Here spirit meeteth spirit, here speaketh heart to heart. Maybe I should find that and read it to you sometime. I can't recite it as she did. But I remember after she did that, and we went to our knees, something I couldn't get away from. That poem by Ter Stegen, in its English translation, ends with, "Let him that is athirst but come and freely drink his fill." It expresses that I can't give it to you, but you get it from the source. I think the last stanza says something like this. O weary souls, draw near him. To you I can but bring one drop of that great ocean, one blossom of that spring. Sealed with his kiss, my lips are dumb. My soul with awe is still. Let him that is athirst but come and freely drink his fill. And we were encouraged like that during that weekend. And I was in the kitchen, and I didn't get to the whole meeting, as some of you workers will discover. Sometimes you're not going to be able to stay for the whole meeting, but I remember the times that I was here. I remember I often sat right back there, and I think that, no surprise to you, I think that often that cushion was a little damp with my tears. I was like that already then. And I'm so thankful that God is here. He's here tonight too. And he will abundantly reward those who seek him. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And so I have that in my heart for Saturday especially, if we could think of that as a day of just drawing near to God and waiting on God. We're doing that in every meeting, but maybe some extra time just waiting before him, letting him work in us, just speak his word to our hearts and quicken us by his life, strengthen us by his grace, fill us with his spirit, yielding to him in faith. And on Sunday, I just, he won't mind if I tell you, I'm so happy that we're planning to go down to the lake shore, the beach, in the afternoon meeting and baptize my dear young brother John Andriuk, who is going to follow the Lord, and that he has a group like you to just stand with him and witness his confession of faith. I'm sure it's a great blessing. So I'm glad for that too. That's Sunday afternoon, and I believe we're going to just have a very precious time with the Lord in these days. And I'm so glad, as I said, that you are here and that he's here.